I think that we all like to look good to other people, don't we? I haven't encountered too many people that like to air all of their dirty laundry. It happens, and usually you're horrified by it, right? And so we live in this sort of environment where we all know that we have problems. We all know that we mess up. And yet, by and large, we present a pretty put-together facade, don't we? The truth is that people have always liked to appear as though they have it all together. And for God's people, it's not only been the desire to appear that they have it all together, it's a desire to appear righteous. Throughout the Old Testament, we see instances of people attempting to try and keep God's laws. And over time, alongside God's laws, there were traditions that sprung up. Scribal traditions, traditions of teachings of the elders and of rabbis. By the time we get to the New Testament, we meet folks like the Pharisees, scribes, teachers of the law, keepers of the tradition. And they loved to appear like they had it all together. They loved to appear like they were righteous. And they took every moment they had to try and make sure they were observing all the fine print, all the minutiae of the law and the traditions of the elders and everything else. We encounter that very activity in our gospel passage from Mark chapter 7. The Pharisees had been paying attention to Jesus and Jesus' disciples. And they had noticed that they weren't washing their hands before they ate. And, you know, you and I were thinking about this, and we're thinking, well, that just sounds like good hygiene. I mean, I tell my kids to do that, or, you know, Jill, we know in the hospital setting, it is extremely important to be keeping your hands clean, right? But this was something different than that. This was about purity, particularly ritual purity. You see, God's law and the instructions to the priest does talk about them doing some ritual washing before they did the sacrifices. But what spun out over time from that law was this whole other tradition where Pharisees would wash their hands before all the meals, wash their cups in particular ways and everything else, but they didn't know about germs, really, okay? This was about the appearance, going through the process, going through the emotions of ritual purity. And so they come at Jesus with this. And Jesus is incensed by it. Almost feels like he was waiting for it to happen. And he responds with words from Isaiah chapter 29. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. But Jesus doesn't stop there, just criticizing the human rules. In fact, I don't even think he quite gets to his main point until he gets to around verse 9. His criticism moves from their adherence to human rules to the way that they appear to follow God's rules. But really, they're just following at best an outward attempt to look like they are observing the outward letter of the law. And what they're really missing is the spirit of the law. So Jesus takes aim at them in two ways. Number one, they're taking a human teaching, a human tradition, and they're trying to elevate it to something that's God's law, which is inappropriate. We all know how traditions have power, though, right? In our churches, we're no stranger to how traditions can take on a powerful role. And we need to be aware of that and careful of what that does. But the second way he's taking aim at them is that even if on an outward level they seem to be obeying the letter of the law, their hearts were not in it. Their hearts were far from God. What they were after was looking like they were doing what was right. But inside, they weren't clean. inside their motives weren't pure. In fact, Jesus goes on to say, he says, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares what might have been used to help their father or mother as Corban, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your own tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that. He doesn't go on to list at all. But what was taking place here was they were using a rule that had come down in the tradition of the elders called Corban, which is basically to say you can designate a certain portion of what you earn or make or have and say that's dedicated to God. And by doing so, the Pharisees were using that as an opportunity to alleviate themselves from the obligation of taking care of their parents. And so God says, by your own traditions, you're taking the commandment to honor your father and mother. And you're using this other tradition that you have handed down to sidestep it. And you do many things like that. And we see throughout Scripture, Jesus takes aim at these Pharisees in various ways, right? They don't want to help people on the Sabbath. They wanted to come after Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. And what's behind all of this was that they wanted to look like they were doing it right on the outside, but they were missing the spirit of the law. We need to remember that underneath everything that God calls us to do are those greatest two commandments, to love God and to love neighbor. And if we are just trying like crafty lawyers or something to just get around the edge of the law to get what we want, that's what the Pharisees were up to. And so they ended up looking to Jesus and to many that were looking on to just be a group of self-righteous moral cops. We're watching you. You didn't wash your hands, man. But instead, personally, they had a whole bunch of stuff they weren't dealing with. I had a recent conversation with a millennial. Are there any millennials here this morning? Depending on who you ask, I'm at the oldest end of the millennials, okay? So that's somewhere in your 20s to early 30s, okay? You know, millennials don't get a lot of good press. But I've taken a look at it, and you know, every generation has been criticized on the way up, so take heart, millennials. This is just part of a rite of passage, okay? But I had a conversation with a millennial, and it was about why there are seemingly so few millennials in churches. And I was listening, and he was telling me how he has so many friends who are Christians, but none of them attend churches. And I was like, well, why do you think that is? And he said, well, from the way I see things, I look at the people that are at church and they just seem like they're all self-righteous and none of them are really real. I thought church was supposed to be a place where we could talk about our struggles and our sins. But whenever I've been to church, everyone just presents a face like they've got it all together. And so the gripe was effectively, I don't buy it. I don't think there's real stuff going on at that place. They seem like they just want to play and look good. And they show up to church. Hi, how are you? Oh, everything's great. Praise the Lord. And I listened to that and I remembered myself when I was younger. I leveled some of those same criticisms, I got to tell you. I leveled some of those same criticisms. And you know what? At one level, there is some truth to this, right? We need to do better as a church to somehow seem like a place that can be welcoming to sinners, don't you think? But at the same time, as I was listening to him talk about his reasons and his friends' reasons for not being a part of a church, even though they consider themselves Christians, I couldn't help but to think that he was like a person looking out over an expanse of water. Now, what do you see when you look out over an expanse of water? just see the top of the water, right? Because I know from my own personal journey, when I decided, you know what, the church is imperfect, but I'm a believer, and these are my people, and I'm going to be in that mess with them. What I found was, you can't really truly tell what's going on under the surface of the water unless you get in the water. It's real easy to level criticisms at the church from outside. But I was thinking, you know what? What I found after I re-engaged with the church, after I had left it for some time, was that there is amazing stuff going on. And I can tell you here this morning, there's amazing stuff that goes on in this body of believers. There is love and compassion. There's caring for one another. There's sharing lives. There's sharing struggles. All of that stuff is happening. But so often people who look on, they just see the Pharisee stuff or something, and they never get in the water to see what's going on beneath the surface. So I'll be honest with you, I don't exactly know how to solve that problem, and I'm glad that the Holy Spirit does a lot of heavy lifting in this department and working on people's hearts. But I do think it's fair for us to consider as a church, you know, as we're looking and reading a passage like this, that in all we do, as we're seeking through the process of being sanctified in Christ to live lives that are worthy of Him, that we don't, like the Pharisees, get so wrapped up in just going through the motions that we miss the Spirit that's behind why. Why? Why does God tell us to do all these things? Why is the law there? Ultimately, it's to create life. To keep us from things that destroy us. And so it's my hope and prayer that as a church, as we seek honestly to try and do what God's called us to do, that we also seek to find ways to seem accessible to other people. We try to find ways where people who are struggling with whether or not they want to be a part of a church, or whether they could ever come back to a church and feel like they belong, that somehow in our interactions, we find those Holy Spirit moments so they can see the reality that we are all sinners that are given the grace and mercy and forgiveness of God. That we don't have it all together, but we're seeking together to be built up into that spiritual house that's glorifying to God. So friends, and millennials, if you're in here, don't forget to get in the water with people. That's where the life is really happening. That's where God's working. Don't sit on the sidelines. So much of what God does through the church is it's more than what's going on here right now. Life in the church is bigger than Sunday morning. Let's pray. Gracious God, we want to be people after your own heart. We want to be people that follow your commandments. But God, we want to do so in a way that is seeking your glory, not our own. So Lord, we pray by the power of your Spirit that you would make us into a church that is seeking to follow you, but that is also welcoming other people to join in the journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.